are listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You tuned into the WGXC Morning Show during our Tower Power Pledge Drive. We're asking for your help to keep local voices on 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the donate button. Or making a contribution at 518-697-7400. Or stopping by any of the three local record stores that will accept donations for WGXC. They're open this weekend. That's John Doe Books and Records on Warren Street in Hudson, Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill, and the Boom and Bloom Shop that's open on weekends out on Route 145 in East Durham. So help out if you can, and stay tuned for the rest of the morning show with all the news and features you expect, including national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin has finished singing this song, and it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood.
On Sunday, October 9th, turn out or tune in to a performance of Elvis Perkins in Deerland at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Elvis Perkins in Deerland is Columbia County resident Elvis Perkins playing with Nicholas Kinsey, Brigham Bro, and Wyndham Garnett. They don't play too often out in the Hudson Valley, but they have played at the Newport Folk Festival and the Primavera Sound Festival. This is their first Hudson Valley appearance in a decade. To turn out or tune in, there'll be a live webcast at WGXC.org from 8 to 10 p.m. Sunday, October 9th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Roger Hennigan-Gilson reports in the Times-Union that officials and utility customer advocates in the Hudson Valley said Central Hudson Gas and Electric's billing has improved since the disastrous rollout of new billing software in September 2021. But some customers still complain of inflated and inaccurate billing, while others say they have not received a bill for months. Central Hudson spokesperson said the utility is working to resolve these issues and that the current problems with billing were because of issues caused when customers were switched back to Central Hudson from renewable energy provider Columbia Utilities. The Public Service Commission has launched an investigation into the software rollout and related billing issues. Central Hudson itself is under investigation by the State Public Service Commission because of the billing problems that began last fall. Saugerties Town Supervisor Fred Costello said residents were having the, quote, same billing issues, unquote, as they did last fall and winter, but, quote, the magnitude is way less, unquote. After Central Hudson started using the new billing software, customers began receiving wildly fluctuating bills, some of which could bankrupt the average utility customer. Customers described their bills doubling or tripling in 1 month with no explanation. Newburgh Mayor Torrance Harvey was back billed $700,000 by Central Hudson in March for his residential service. As of this week, the commission had received more than 4,200 comments from Central Hudson customers describing issues with the utility. Costello said the most common issue in Saugerties was customers not receiving billing for months, then getting many bills at once, all due at the end of the month. According to Central Hudson Assistant Director of Media Relations Joe Jenkins, the reason for the, quote, majority of customers, unquote, now experiencing issues is that the state excluded Columbia Utilities, a local energy supplier, from the energy marketplace. Columbia Utilities had promised to deliver 100% renewable energy to customers at fixed rates by buying energy in bulk. 10 Hudson Valley communities, including Saugerties, Beacon, and Poughkeepsie, signed up. But in April, the company filed notice with the Public Service Commission that it wanted to pull out of the contract. In June, 8 towns, the Public Service Commission and others filed a lawsuit against Columbia Utilities for reneging on its agreement, according to court documents. Jenkins said on October 19th that, quote, virtually all customers, unquote, that were switched back to Central Hudson from Columbia Utilities had their bills delayed, but he expected all back bills to be delivered by mid-November. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Eric Lazo in the City and State reports that voters decide on Proposition 1, New York's Clean Water, Clean Air, and Green Jobs Environmental Bond Act, when vote October 29th and November 8th. The proposal would allow New York State to borrow up to $4.2 billion to improve and restore New York's natural resources while reducing climate change impacts. The state legislature approved the act in April, but voters must also sign on. Historically, New York voters have approved similar bond measures to establish state parks and land preserves and reduce industrial pollution and increase air and water quality. This one would prepare the state for changing climate with funds for zero-emission school buses, flood risk reduction, water quality improvement, and other spending. Jessica Otney-Mahar, New York Director of Policy and Strategy at the Nature Conservancy, an environmental organization, said, and I quote, if passed by voters on November 8th, Prop 1 will improve public health by upgrading the state's antiquated 100-year-old pipes and water infrastructure, fund projects to mitigate climate change and flooding, and to create tens of thousands of local jobs. New Yorkers have a chance to protect their state from an increasingly dangerous climate future by voting yes on Prop 1, end quote. Read the full story at City and State.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Ulster County elected and law enforcement officials and substance abuse prevention personnel gathered October 20th at the County Law Enforcement Center in Kingston to celebrate a new federal $1.3 million grant to help the county cope with the ongoing opioid epidemic. Quote, I think it's important to recognize the importance of what we are doing here to help people, unquote, said Sheriff Juan Figueroa. Former Ulster County executive, now congressperson Pat Ryan, sought help during his administration to try and slow the opioid epidemic. Quote, we had to declare a public health emergency in 2020 for fentanyl to raise awareness of just how deadly and lethal it can be and how seriously needed to take that, unquote, he said. Between January 2021 and August 2022, the county's opioid response as county law enforcement unit had 683 referrals for treatment and distributed 1,835 Naxalon kits to treat overdoses. The grant will help the county fund new positions to fight the county's opioid problems. Read more about this story at midhudsonnews.com.
Kathleen Moore is reporting in the Times Union that about 100 Gilderland High School students walked out of class October 18th protesting a racist school climate that administrators say they have known about for several years. On October 14th, two students with their faces painted black attended a school football game. Students were encouraged to wear black in a school spirit effort, but the students in blackface triggered another student to begin chanting Black Lives Matter. Then the two students wearing face paint mocked the chant, according to the accounts of several students. The story also says that, and I quote, at least one of the students wearing black paint made derogatory comments to them at the game and later posted racist statements on social media, end quote. Superintendent Marie Wiles confirmed the incidents described by the students, but said she could not comment on any disciplinary action. But Wiles did say she was not surprised. She said, and I quote, not long after the killing of George Floyd, we had some graduates who reached out to me and shared similar stories about their experiences here. They were powerful catalysts for our district to start doing a lot more purposeful work around diversity, equity, and inclusion, end quote. Wiles met with the students who walked out in the school lobby and is planning small group listening sessions. She said, and I quote, what I heard on Tuesday underscored for me the need for us to be even better listeners to all our students. We need to truly understand what their day-to-day experiences are in this building, end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union.
This is Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that this month the U.S. Postal Service filed notice with the Postal Regulatory Commission of price changes to take effect January 22, 2023. The new rates include a 3-cent increase in the price of a first-class mail forever stamp from 60 cents to 63 cents. The proposed increases will raise first-class mail prices by approximately 4.2% to offset the rise in inflation. The price for 1-ounce metered mail will increase to 60 cents, and the price to send a domestic postcard will increase to 48 cents. A 1-ounce letter mailed to another country would increase to $1.45. The single-piece letter and flat additional ounce price will remain at 24 cents. The Postal Service is also looking to adjust the price charged for certified mail, post office box rental fees, money order fees, and the cost to purchase insurance when mailing an item. The post office raised rates most recently on July 10th. That increase included a 2-cent increase in the price of a first-class mail forever stamp from 58 to 60 cents. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
New York's Foliage Report says that some areas are past peak this week, while others will see peak colors. The report says, and I quote, foliage throughout the Catskills will be mostly past peak this weekend. In Greene County, the town of Catskill will be at peak with nearly complete leaf change and very brilliant orange, yellow, and red leaves. Spotters reporting from the upper elevations of the county in Windham report that foliage is now past peak, but some bright patches of red, yellow, orange, and purple leaves remain. Ulster County observers in New Plants expect peak colors this weekend with 90% leaf change and a bright mix of yellow, orange, and green leaves, while spotters reporting from Bel Air Mountain Ski Area in High Mount expect conditions to be past peak with nearly complete change and very brilliant seasonal colors. In the Hudson Valley, most of Columbia County will be at peak, with communities like Hudson featuring around 70% leaf change, with bright and bold shades of orange, gold, bronze, and amber, along with some fiery reds, end quote. See New York's Foliage Report for complete details.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, sunny with a high near 59 degrees. And Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 36 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 35 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, October 21st, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC. Jared Wiegashud is live from Hudson, for instance, from noon to 2 p.m. after the local news with all sorts of new rock, R&B, pop, reggae, and more. We'll also at 4 p.m. speak with Iridian Lucas Garcia from the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement about the Excluded Worker Fund campaign. We'll hear from youth in Catskill at Clubhouse Radio, and they'll tell their stories and play their songs at 6 p.m. on Friday. And other youth from Hudson talk about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show at 7 p.m. These are all reasons you might want to donate to WGXC during our fall pledge drive at wgxc.org/donate to keep all sorts of voices on the air locally at WGXC on 90.7 FM. That's wgxc.org/donate. Please make a difference in your community and keep your community radio station on FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, October 22nd, come out to Wave Farm and view the installations. It's part of WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, Wave Farm will welcome drop-in visitors for tours of the campus, including the WGXC Acre Studio and the many installations on the property that employ radio in some way. Also, community members and local nonprofit organizations can come by to record public service announcements to air on 90.7 FM, and members of the public can record a station ID for WGXC. Again, that's Wave Farm is open for visits on Saturday, October 22nd during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Go to wgxc.org for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, October 22nd at Wave Farm. Listening to Zach Poff's Pond Station, available at wavefarm.org/listen. If you click on the listen button on any WGXC.org page, you can hear the sounds from the bottom of one of the Wave Farm ponds, thanks to the hydrophones Zach Poff has put there. The radio artist is surveilling the underwater sounds in Greene County, and you can go to wavefarm.org/listen or click on any WGXC.org page and click on the listen button to listen to transmissions from inside a Wave Farm pond from morning until sundown from Zach Poff's Pond Station.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 21st. Local early morning temperatures range from 33 in Windham to 36 in Kingston. Regional average soil temperature is 49 degrees. We seem to be getting some distance between us and the snow monster, as it is now 400 miles away, just north of Montreal. And here is your final Friday fall foliage forecast. According to ilovenewyork.com, Catskill will be at peak, and elevated areas like Windham have already passed peak. Hudson is currently at 70%. The bold colors we're having this year are currently peaking in areas like Kingston and Rhinebeck. And after a week or so, that's it. So get out and enjoy it while you can. It's going to be a nice weekend. And on that note, even though you can see your breath this morning, fret not, it is going to warm up. Sunshine will bring that mercury up to 60 degrees by 3 p.m. Overnight, we get the cold plunge to 35. Then, tomorrow, we bounce right back up, hitting 66 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, the skies cloud over, and that blanket helps temps only drop to 40 degrees. Sunday, high of 64 is expected, with a potentially rainy afternoon. 52 degrees overnight takes us into an also rainy-looking Monday. High of 63 is expected then. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:24 a.m., low tide at 7:13 a.m., high tide again at 1:07 p.m., and low tide once again at 7:21 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 55 degrees, and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 5:52 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:11 a.m. Looking way up, we see an incoming solar wind stream impact is expected on Monday. Currently, the solar wind speed is 364 kilometers per second at 9.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 33. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And here at WGXE, we are winding out the fall fun drive. So if you are on the fence, now is the time to become a sustaining supporter. Help us keep that radio tower powered. Head on over to WGXE.org. Hit that big easy donate button and keep those airwaves fun and unique.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Neil Verma of Chicago, Illinois. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXE sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
My goal is to build community right here. By adding 4 new sustaining supporters today during this hour, we're going to help to raise money so the station, WGXC, can renew its lease on the tower. The tower is key. That's what makes the radio go out. And I had a good view of the tower today on my way into the station here. So how do you pledge? Go to WGXC.org, or you can call 518-697-7400. Help me add 4 new sustaining supporters this hour.
Listen to what the flower people say. Getting louder every day.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the Better Weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to WGXC.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay!
But also, like, just getting in the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves, I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or 20 bucks a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear. Having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it. The sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
90.7 FM.
Carmen Borgia here. From Ukulele's Unleashed, I co-host with John Sturman. We're extremely grateful to WGXC to be able to really do a show where all we have to think about is ukuleles for 2 hours. And not everybody would let us do a thing like that. So we're really grateful. And here's a song. It's a song by the Felice Brothers, and it's a favorite of our ukulele crowd. And I've adjusted the lyrics a little bit. So instead of the girlfriend, I've changed that to WGXC in this case. So, and it's a lively little ukulele song. It's called a radio song. WGXC, the dying leaves are dancing off the tree. Got an easy way with you and me. Go dancing to a record dancing shoe. Hey, 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 hey. Please don't you ever die. You ever die. You ever die. Lift us into the air. Into the air. Into the air. Dying stars are falling down on us. They got an easy way. All it's you and me. Go falling to go way out into the blue. Hey, oh, please don't you ever die. You ever die. You ever die. Oh,
yay! Nice job, Carmen.
Carmen.
You rock.
That's from our group to you guys.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I will tell you that when we reconvened the United States Senate, I thank the members in both political parties for staying at their post, coming back to work, and completing the peaceful transfer of power.
Former Vice President Mike Pence spoke to students at Georgetown University about the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. With former President Donald Trump seeking a potential run in 2024, Pence has spoken out about the dangers of the assault on the Capitol. This comes a week after the Select Committee investigating those attacks announced they will be seeking Trump's testimony. New evidence aired at the hearing reveals the former president knew what kind of violence would occur. The Environmental Protection Agency is celebrating 50 years of the Clean Water Act, first passed in 1972. At a press conference in Cleveland, EPA Administrator Michael Regan discussed how the Cuyahoga was one of many rivers to serve as a catalyst for this legislation.
Like too many waterways across our country in the 1950s and 60s, the Cuyahoga River had fallen victim to years of unchecked pollution. I'm talking about the days when our rivers were treated as nothing more than dumping grounds.
British Prime Minister Liz Truss resigned after 44 days in office. This comes after a proposed tax-cutting budget rocked financial markets in the UK.
We set out a vision for a low-tax, high-growth economy that would take advantage of the freedoms of Brexit. I recognise, though, given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected.
While speaking among numerous local and congressional leaders in Pennsylvania about new infrastructure projects, President Joe Biden spoke about Republicans changing views of the Build Back Better infrastructure bill.
Let's get something straight. We managed to get some Republicans to vote for this, 13 in the House and 19 in the Senate. And I'm truly grateful for them. I mean it sincerely. But a whole lot more voted against it, but are taking credit for it now.
In the debate for governor of Oklahoma, candidate Joy Hoffmeister described some of the issues people will be considering when voting in the November midterm elections.
Education is on the ballot. Our rural communities are on the ballot. Freedom is on the ballot to make decisions for yourself and your trusted doctor.
This coming Saturday marks 10 years since Superstorm Sandy devastated the East Coast. Although cities hit by the storm have rebuilt damaged infrastructure in the decades since then, as storms increase in magnitude, it remains to be seen how effective this will be against climate change's growing impacts. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Few election officials would ever recommend counting ballots by hand unless it's absolutely necessary. It's long, tedious, and expensive work, which is prone to error. Yet that's exactly what's being promoted by 2020 election deniers around the country. Over the last year, several state legislatures have considered hand count bills, including New Hampshire, Arizona, Colorado, Missouri, Washington, and West Virginia, fueled by conspiracy theories that optical ballot readers have been hacked. In July, a longtime Nye County, Arizona election official resigned along with her staff, citing false allegations of fraud based on these conspiracy theories. Then in August, the county commission decided to hand count the ballots from the county's 32,000 registered voters. Election experts point to multiple studies by the MIT Election Data and Science Lab and other researchers showing where optical reader results were compared with hand recounting. The difference is so tiny it doesn't justify the time and expense of hand counting, which can take hours or even days longer and add substantial expense. A Wisconsin hand recount in the 2016 presidential race found error rates for Donald Trump at 0.159% and Hillary Clinton at 0.161%, which had no impact on the outcome and an expense of over $3 million. Articles on election technology studies are linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
We want to thank the folks who have been donating during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive, our Tower Power Pledge Drive. It's a referendum on whether we continue broadcasting on FM. We are faced with renewing our tower lease, whether or not to renew our tower lease. We need to make a decision at WGXC, and we're asking for your help in the decision. If we feel financially secure enough to renew that lease, we will continue to broadcast on FM on 90.7 WGXC.org. We'll be there for you, but we need a few folks to sign up as sustaining supporters at WGXC.org/donate. That's WGXC.org/donate. And we want to thank the people that have done that, have called 518-697-7400 or gone to WGXC.org/donate. During our fall pledge drive, we want to thank an anonymous listener in Chatham for going to wgxc.org/donate and making a generous one-time gift of support. We want to thank an anonymous Catskill listener for going to wgxc.org/donate to become a monthly sustaining supporter. Thank you so much, both out in Chatham and in Catskill. We want to thank an anonymous listener in Middletown, Connecticut for going to wgxc.org/donate to become a sustaining supporter. We want to thank an anonymous listener in Manhattan for going to wgxc.org/donate to make a generous one-time pledge. We want to thank an anonymous listener in East Jewett for going to wgxc.org/donate to make their generous one-time gift of support. So many people to thank. We want to thank an anonymous listener in Brooklyn for going to WGXC.org and making a one-time pledge of support for community radio. We want to thank Dave Odgen from Illinois for supporting WGXC. He loved the Clash show that Patty Boom did on Tuesday, October 18th. Thank you to Marina Zerkow of Saugerties for a generous one-time gift of support at wgxc.org/donate. So many people to thank. Edwin in Manhattan, thank you for going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you to the anonymous donor in Chicago for going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you so many people who have done so much to get community radio on the air in the Upper Hudson Valley in the first place and then keep it there. And so far, we've been able to do that since 2011, thanks to your support at wgxc.org/donate. You can make a difference in your community.
Yeah, I'm really glad you took me on this bird hike out here. One of my favorite things to do is get up early in the morning and put on a pair of rubber bird-watching boots.
Oh, dear, I do believe I put my bird-watching boots on backwards.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get back there. Oh, you know what it is? It's the snap.
Oh, the snap. Oh, goodness, you're right. I put it on backwards. I must have had my raspberry jams this morning. They give me that extra antioxidant boost. They need to have my snaps put on properly.
Yeah, you gotta have that antioxidant. I take a pill myself. Actually, it's a suppository.
Oh, honey, you're always full of surprises and good newses.
Oh, there's a scarlet tanager over there, honey. I can see its plumage sparkling in the breeze. Or it could be that caramel macchiato I got. I got a little of that caramel in the corner of my eyeball.
Oh, yes, you do. You have a triplet of caramel. Hold on, let me get it off of there. Oh, there you go. Seeing good is new, I suppose.
Yeah, that looks good now. Hard to get out of here. Hard to get out of this tick underbrush. A lot of ticks out here, baby. Watch out. Don't get any ticks on you.
Oh, I got a tick on my labia. I'm going to have to use the tweezers.
Yeah, I got those tweezers. They're pretty good. They got a sharp notion to them. Yeah. Hold on. I hear the bird whistling. Let's see if I can get over here. Oh, yeah. That's an Oriole.
An Oriole? I thought it was an Oreo. I almost ate it because I only had half a bagel this morning. Hudson is full of delicious baked goods. Get in from sight. Oh, that's a good one, honey.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, they're hidden from sight. But where are those baked goods? Well, I want to know.
Oh, they're hiding them in their pants. They're on their sundries and underwear and whatnot.
Coffee glasses. We gotta get fired to one of those coffee glasses.
Oh, you sure it isn't a Nazi rally? I always think coffee clutch sounds like it could be a possible Nazi rally.
Well, as long as the Nazis have good coffee, I'll go in there. Grab me some of that. Joe.
Why do they call it Joe?
Oh, I don't know. Just delicious that way. Watch out over there, honey. There's some branches.
Oh, that bird. He's just flittering off in his reflective distance. His beak, like the beacon of freedom of American soil, unmolested by the drone of a foreign airplane full of explosives. Ladies and gentlemen, 9/11 was built for you by the warlords of America, the warlords of the United States military complex. They rained their inconsiderate decisions upon you, and now look at the fallout, as it were.
You got all that from that coffee, honey. I don't know. Maybe you should switch to decaf, quite honestly. You're getting a little crazy over there.
I know, honey. I need that other half a bagel, and I'll be right as rain. Right as rain.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by George Jackman, who is the Senior Habitat Restoration Manager for Riverkeeper. And recently, they received a grant from the State Department of Environmental Conservation related to removing a dam, I guess, on Mill Creek in the city of Rensselaer. And this is part of an ongoing effort. They are trying to restore access, remove dams in the Hudson watershed. So we invited George on to talk about, this project. Maybe a brief introduction on Riverkeeper. Riverkeeper's only been on our show previously. And then why is removal of dams so important?
Well, again, what I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that river free-flowing creeks are, they bind ecosystems together. They are the great integrators of ecological processes and habitats, and they help generate and sustain downstream productivity in the estuaries and nearshore fisheries. The problem is that many of our streams have been dammed, you know, to harness the power of flowing water. It seems like a great idea, but these places were critical habitat for many of our fishes, our migratory fishes, most of which are now in serious decline and depleted. So in order to save these species from, you know, extirpation from the Hudson River ecosystem or further decline, we're trying to expand their spawning and nursery habitat as much as possible, while also at the same time working out in the open ocean to reduce commercial targeted fisheries and bycatch on these same species. So the main reason is that dams fragment ecosystems and they interrupt ecological processes. I hope that answers the question why we've gone around trying to remove these old dams that really don't serve much of a purpose anymore.
Now, I saw in the article that in 2016, a riverkeeper actually removed the Wineskill Dam in Troy. And actually within days, apparently thousands of herons were seen migrating upstream this morning for the first time in 85 years.
Yeah, that was what is really magical, that they were dispossessed from their habitat. And as soon as the door was open, they recolonized that system. And just once you make it available, they will find it. And that's really what is really important. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to expand their habitat. But there's, in an era of climate change, there's another reason too. There's a human interest. As precipitation becomes more intense and more frequent, we need to allow the water to flow and to drain. And dams interrupt that drainage process. And removing them can help make more resilient communities in an era of climate change.
Now, when I talked to you earlier, you were... You mentioned that, you know, on the Postenkill Gorge in Troy, which goes a couple hundred feet up, actually eels managed to climb up there to migrate?
Yes, yes. They're some of the most incredible species on this planet. There's a book, and it calls them the most mysterious creature in the sea. What they do is just beyond human comprehension. That's a 285-foot climb, and they are able to adhere to wetted surfaces that have and climb that gorge, and they will find their way. However, dams will restrict their ability to climb because you get a torrent of flowing water. If they have a wetted surface that it gives them purchase, they can climb, and that will be their life's imperative to get upstream. And then at some point they will wake up and head back to the Sargasso Sea. So it is really it's a wonder, and it creates a sense of awe that they can do that without arms or legs.
Apparently there are about 1,600 dams, you know, along the rivers and streams in the Hudson Valley, and many of them are obsolete, apparently, you know, built, you know, maybe in the 19th century. I guess like the one in Mill Creek and Rensselaer was, you know, built, you know, for a felt factory, and that no longer is operating. How far along are you in getting these 1,600 dams removed, or how many, you know, is the target?
Well, first of all, that there are probably more than 1,600. I estimate there are probably at least 2,000, because a lot of them don't even exist. And I find these old legacy dams that are no longer that are not on any database. But, you know, it will be impossible to remove all 2,000 dams. And that's not really... Well, also, there's also another 20,000 culverts, half of which are misaligned, too. So The Hudson watershed has a circulatory problem, but what we're trying to do is strategically remove dams, dams that form first barriers, and dams that will open up extensive amounts of habitat, or as much habitat as possible. So we're looking at it strategically rather than every dam that comes along.
Now, your title is Habitat Restoration Manager. Are there other ways that you're also doing habitat restoration besides, you know, opening up these old dams?
Yeah, well, another interest is realigning culverts that, you know, can be perched, which create dams. And then last week, we planted 100 trees alongside the Quesay Creek where we removed the dam. Part of our reasoning is we removed invasive species and then planted native trees. What we want to do is shade out the river and keep them as cool as possible. And we want to remove invasive species that create a monoculture and then plant native species wherever we can, native trees. We want, because it's really important that a river is allowed to move and latitudinally expand into the floodplain, and it derives sediment and nutrient flow by doing that. So a river is a living system. So we try to work on riparian corridors as much as the rivers themselves.
Just having an old friend of mine, one of the shad fishermen down in Poughkeepsie, and they've actually closed, I guess, the shad fishery, at least the commercial fisher, and a shad come in from the ocean. Is that situation improving with the shad at all?
No, the shad, you know, the shad are in trouble. They're depleted. They're coastwide depleted. Their populations are bad, are very low, and they have failed recruitment in at least 20 of the past 22 years. That means they haven't had a successful spawning cycle. And that bodes poorly. What we're also trying to do is we're trying to alleviate bycatch on them in the open ocean. When fishermen are using giant nets and targeting, say, Atlantic herring, we want them to be aware of shad and river herring and to avoid them as much as possible because they're in a desperate condition right now. As a matter of fact, all migratory fish throughout the world are in tough conditions. They've declined, about 85% over the past 30, 40 years.
We've been talking with George Jackman, Senior Habitat Restoration Manager for Riverkeeper. George, people want more information about the dam removal effort or your work. How best can they do that?
We're going to be releasing a dam film about why we're doing this, and we're going to screen it. And if you come to one of these venues,
this has been Mark Dunley. You can check out the Riverkeeper website, Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
As Asian Americans continue to face discrimination and hate crimes, new funding could aid New York officials in reporting and preventing these incidents. The multipurpose funding from the Bureau of Justice Assistance will be used to create grants to help community groups in New York City educate people about Asian American culture. The hope is to alleviate some of the tension that has grown since former President Donald Trump dubbed COVID-19 the China virus. Kalea Ann Mendoza with the group Nonviolent Peace Force says Asian Americans need time to process what has gone on.
We haven't had a chance to pause. We haven't had a chance to heal. I think we are constantly put into a state of hypervigilance. I think that there needs to be dedicated spaces for us in our communities to be able to recognize the trauma that we have experienced.
He hopes people can work to create a safer and more equitable world and says this mindset needs to be part of the immediate response to the violence. According to Stop AAPI Hate, over 11,000 hate crimes have been reported in the last 2 years. On a state level, Mendoza says he'd like to see this dealt with as a public health issue, with more resources for developing holistic public safety practices for Asian Americans. On a federal level, his organization wants to see more cooperation between local and national advocacy groups, and a more robust dialogue on how to keep people safe.
It's important for us to be able to listen to what the direct needs around safety are and to be able to tailor and support and provide the resources, whether that's through trainings, whether that's through advisement or supporting the safety infrastructure.
Until people are better able to address the root causes of racism, Mendoza is worried that little change will occur. But Congress passed the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act last year to expedite the review of hate crimes and hate crime reports. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Yeah.